If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Are you big Shark Week fans?
I was as a kid, but not anymore.
Sure.
Long time ago.
Yeah, I may not do it like the Discovery Channel thing, but I do love watching nature documentaries. And man, sharks are—they're crazy.
I feel like there's such a.
They're crazy.
A new love of sharks. Like there's like two Megalodon movies, like three Megalodons, and I'm like, what's going on? Why is there so much?
Wait, they're making a third Meg, the Meg movie?
No, but I mean, there's been like, so there's a Meg.
You got me excited.
But then there's another Megalodon movie. And I feel like it's just, why are we talking about?
Well, there's always, I mean, sharks are
the degree to which you perked up about the concept of a third Megalodon movie is surprising. They're making a third the Meg?
I like the Meg, man.
You like Meg 2 with two Megs?
No, it's actually called Meg 2 the Trench. My God. Right? I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Oh my goodness.
The Meg 2, the Trench.
I haven't seen those. Would I like, do you think I would like them, Bray?
I think, did you like Piranha 3D?
Oh, I didn't see Piranha either.
Oh, okay.
I have avoided a lot of these movies.
You saw Crawl.
I just saw Crawl for the first time. But I avoid a lot of these movies because I think they're going to be like too hokey, you know. Like I only subject myself to like to hokiness when there are dinosaurs involved, which I guess the Meg is adjacent
technically.
But
I
already watch enough of movies like that to where like certain genres I'm just like I'm gonna avoid the monster movie. But if you like the Meg. And I don't know. I did like the Meg.
I thought the second one was not as good. But I do like movies that are a little cheesy if they know that they're cheesy and they're doing it in the right way and it's fun. Yes. I'm not somebody though who like goes down the rabbit hole of these because there's a whole industry of this, of course, where just like people just make B movies, the movies that used to be on the Sci-Fi Channel. Now a lot of them are
like the Sharknados. Like I don't like. Yeah. I'm not watching Sharknado.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily about those. I like the ones that are like good enough to like go into theaters. Like enough juice behind them to get into theaters, but they're still kind of hokey. Like I guess that's to say I like when the special effects are good.
Yeah.
Right? Because
absolutely. 100%.
I guess that's really the main difference. And then the other difference is that they'll get a couple of named actors in them too, if possible. But yeah, I think creature features can get, I mean, they're ultimately, they get pretty redundant. you know, and you're just like, eh. You know, they're, and then ultimately you watch them and you're like, yeah, this is thrash.
No.
I'm this straight up thrash.
That's a bad one.
Put this in the thrash.
Put this in the thrash? Okay.
We should let that go. Let's just start the show, because that's bad. That's bad.
You say my segue is thrash?
No, I'm saying it's trash.
Oh.
Don't owe that like it's just like that just made sense to you.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Yeah, fuck Mr. Olsen. Yeah, fuck Mr. Olsen.
Yeah.
Fuck Mr. Olsen.
We were just talking about you, I believe, is the next line.
It is.
Mr. Olsen, yeah. We were just talking about you. It's how they say it. Guys, welcome. For those of you who are listening for the first time, thank you so much. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And there are three of us who host this show. The one you're listening to right now is the voice of somebody who is leaving immediately. If I get a hurricane warning,
that's real.
I don't care about my house. I don't care about my things. I'll take some stuff, but I'm getting out of there. You're not catching me in no hurricane.
That's real. This voice is that of Dry Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
And today we are reviewing the 2026 Netflix film Thrash. Some might call this a TV movie. Because, you know, that's kind of how movies are now, honestly. And it's sad, and that's what we're going to do. This film is currently number 2 in movies on Netflix. It premiered at number 1 with 37.7 million views, making it the third biggest movie opening on Netflix this year, behind War Machine and The Rip. But ahead of People We Met on Vacation and ahead of the Peaky Blinders film that they made. Currently has a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. However, audience score, 24%. So,
wow,
that's worse.
24.
This film stars Whitney Peak, Phoebe Denever. How do you say her name? Denever?
The woman from Bridgerton.
Yeah. Digimon Hansu. And some other people. And it is about Hurricane 5, a storm decimating a town, and it brings in a bunch of sharks. Specifically, bull sharks. Which, how much did we
bull
learn about?
Bunch of bull.
How much did we learn about bull sharks?
They were so hyped to say bull sharks.
Yeah, they really loved it. Yeah, I think that's all there is to say there. Obviously, no box office. Clocking in at a nice, crisp 86 minutes.
Crisp 86. Crisp.
Shall we do initial thoughts?
I can go. I thought Whitney was in a drastically different movie than everybody else. I thought like
drastically
than everybody else.
I thought she was in a whole different. I thought her and I guess the girl from Bridgerton,
yeah,
were like maybe in the same movie. But even then, there were certain scenes. I'm like, from the opening, You know what it was? And when it opened with her, I thought we were in for a different type of movie. Cause I'm like, oh, this girl clearly got a PTSD. Like, okay, she's going through some shit.
Right.
When this movie started, I was like, this is there. I know y'all have heard it. The rumors about Netflix having to repeat the same thing over and over again and how people watch movies in the background. And I was trying to, while watching this movie, I watched it at a.
You watched it in the background.
No, so the thing is, I couldn't because I was trying to watch it before I drove back from Vegas. So I watched it and a lot of other people started watching it with me because I watched it in like the Italy and the Park MGM. And it was kind of fun because people all were kind of like asking questions about how I felt about it. And I was like, oh, this feels like a Netflix TV movie. And I was trying to figure out why it felt like that. It's definitely the color palette. It is definitely the repeating of things. And it's definitely the acting style, which I think is what does it. I did not enjoy it. I thought Whitney was good. I guess the woman from, but also the script was so bad. I thought the woman from Bridgerton, I was like, why is she doing certain things? Then at one point I was like, don't you go say this white girl, you could die. I was like, I can't, don't let her guilt you into this. I, man. And then that other family,
they really made her guilt her into it. They really
like, straight
did,
like, up.
That was the choice the movie made.
And you know what, man? I am think I'm getting tired of watching stuff and it's not like a black person under like 50 dude in it. And I'm like, this shit's getting fucking out of hand, yo. That's another thing that's starting to bother me. And I just genuinely did not care about that other kid family. I was like, why do I got to focus on them? this movie felt so long. So to hear y'all say 85 minutes is crazy. Crazy. But yeah,
it was
that's
really
why
short.
I'm at. Bro,
it
this
was short. It felt short to me, but I understand what you. I understand.
Dying. All right, I'm done.
There was a point. I actually had the opposite. There was a point where I was like, I paused it to go. Maddie woke up, and I had to go get her. And I was like, oh damn, it's almost over. Like, that was the experience I had. Yeah, I was oh wow. It. But okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, that's I'm done.
Okay, I'll go next. I had a better time watching it than Gerard did. I don't think this is a great movie by any stretch. I wouldn't call it great. It feels derivative of some of these other things that I think we've already kind of talked about. So those were the things that throw me the most. And like you start comparing scripts in that way, like. That thing Drew said about like guilting her into like it feels like an active choice of the movie that she's guilted into going to save her rather than any other kind of reason she could have tried to go save her, just witnessing it or blah 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 or whatever, you know. I feel like the movie's biggest hurdle for me is like there is a lot going on. There's like so much going on, like the ticking clock of the pregnancy, the anxiety, the sharks. The great white shark, the everyone's kind of varying positions on the storm felt real. And also, I don't know. There was just like a lot of like, it felt like it was juggling more than it potentially needed to. And this could be, all of this to say, this could be coming from having I saw Crawl for the first time in October and really liked it and like, I thought it was really well made, and it's a very kind of straightforward, simple story. It follows one person dealing with a mess. And so to me, it was like, you know, four different tracks. I was like, I didn't need two, let alone four. What else? Oh, I was kind of surprised how much we like don't see. Like for how good the sharks looked and for how good the water and everything looked, like I was shocked at how like we kept pulling away every time an attack happened. Like I thought that was kind of potentially working to the movie's detriment. I don't know. But all that to say, like I liked that like a meat truck explodes and that's what brings all of this. Like just stuff like that was fun. I thought it got a little too funny towards the end. Like. I liked some of the pops of humor, but I thought it was like, oh, this feels tonally drastically different now. Like it now feels like now we're potentially in a full on comedy versus where we were at the start. So,
yeah,
those are my loose kind of thoughts and excited to talk about it more specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I enjoyed my time. I enjoyed my time. Now, is the movie good? No, I mean, you know, we know that. Everybody knew that already. It's not good. Script is bad. Acting, some of the acting is wild. But you know, the movie knows what it is, and I think that's why people are watching it, because it's just like, hey, I don't know, we're just gonna get some people killed by sharks. It's like, okay, and it gets into it pretty quickly. I thought both Phoebe and Whitney were it was a fun pairing. I liked that. I thought the Digimon part was it was weird. I felt like he was in the movie more than I thought he was going to be. Like at first I was like, oh, they just have him. He's just going to do this small thing and then whatever. But he was kind of in the movie more than I thought. And yet he his role still felt so small and kind of
yeah.
I'm just I don't know. I felt like you could have did a little bit more with that. I also didn't quite understand the relationship they were trying to build. They were that was his uncle. That was his niece.
That was his niece. But he's now the father figure.
And he's the father figure. But
they didn't say that until she said her dad died. And I was like, does she not like that nigga? I just saw him.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird because he said something I don't know how to. Sorry, I don't know how to do this dad thing. And I was like, what? You're not her dad. I don't know. I was just and also I don't even understand what is the parental thing that you're doing? Just making sure she's okay. I don't know. Anyway, that didn't quite work, even though I enjoyed the fact that he was in the movie because I just like him.
100%.
And then, yeah, the white, I guess, were they in Florida or where were they?
Bro, I don't know.
Oh, South Carolina.
Yeah.
I just the accents, and maybe those are like real accents native to that place, but it was just it just felt so, because nobody else had those accents, I was just what's going on? Are they just doing that because they're these are
overly
woods?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind having a guy a couple that were we want to see these people die. I was surprised we didn't get to see the reporters die. I was I thought for sure you were setting up that these camera people were going to die.
The reporter says, no matter what, keep it rolling. No matter what happens, keep it rolling. It is the perfect rolling setup for the cameraman to be filming
big leagues,
as
Joe.
He's getting eaten. I can't believe they didn't do it.
It's crazy they didn't have him die. I felt so cheated. That I would say just everything that happened in the movie, that was what upset me the most. I was just what the heck? You know, it was I gotta say, even though everything was so cheesy, there were still moments where I felt myself tensing up. You know, I don't want people to get eaten by sharks. Yeah. That's all. I don't know. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I'll just
say
off of what you just said that when after I grabbed Maddie, Kat asked how's the movie? And I was you know, it's not good, but I am invested. To what you said about their moments of being tensed up. That was genuinely how I felt, to where I was I care about I want to see if this baby's going to get born. I want to see, you know, I want to see this stuff, but I'm also
Yeah.
You know,
I did enjoy the line, hold on, mama's got to go kill a shark.
Mama's got to kill some sharks.
I was that's pretty good.
It was pretty good, but it made me mad. But here's the thing. I don't think that was the movie. I don't think that was the movie.
No,
That wasn't happening in the movie at all.
This is the first time that it's happening in the movie.
And they did the the 1,000 miles while they get the dynamite. And it was what? We were in a sudden shift and the movie was suddenly complete a different shift thing.
And it was quick cuts in between. I was what?
Yeah, it was kind of between them. It also made no sense. That made no sense. I was they saw the dynamite and I was just, I mean, whatever. That's
how do
fine
movies like this get made, yo?
I need to know because I got to make them.
This is me asking because I'm like, I, like, I, I, I watched this movie, and at one point I was like, I think I said out loud, and the person I was writing with goes, what do you mean? I was like, I've seen so many movies. I've read people's scripts that are so good, and they don't get made. They lose money. And I look at this movie. They have money for effects, clearly, and it's bad, and people will accept that it's bad. And it made it to, like, what, number two or some shit. And I'm like,
I mean, number one is first week.
Number one?
It's first week, yeah.
First week, number one, yeah. Gerard got so sad. You can't see his face.
Because, like, we're joking about stuff that's bad about this movie. Like, this movie is like, oh, you watch it and you forget about it. But you watch it. You're like, all right, that's cool. You shrug. I'm entertained. You know, you're like, your voice gets squeaky. You get a good actress like Whitney in this. And I'm like, I've seen so many movies with better scripts that don't get made, that won't cost as much money as this one. And I'm looking at this movie and I looked up this director, no offense, sorry. And it's like, how, bro? Tell me how you did it. Teach me.
Yeah. I mean, there is a market for these types of films. Like, this is like, hey, people want to see movies where sharks eat people. And then it's like, cool, I wrote a movie about sharks eating people. And they're like, great, we want to make that. So if you are okay with making a movie that's not good, that is, the subject matter is redundant and derivative of other things, people will watch. I mean, the moment of the great white shark killing the bull shark is just the Jurassic Park moment that we've already seen Jurassic Park be derivative of in its own franchise. And other movies have also done that. Of just like, I mean, this movie is complete ripoff of Crawl. Like, this movie is Crawl. It's just replacing gators with sharks. It's like the same exact movie.
100%.
And Crawl is much better, clearly.
Much.
And the characterization is better, and the justification, all that stuff. But like, people are like, hey, this work, can you make something that's just like this? And if you have no shame, you go, yeah, I'll do that. And then you just find, I don't know, somebody, one of these production companies that's willing to make it. I mean, here's the funny thing about it, though, is that, for instance, there's another shark movie on Netflix right now. And it's just another shark movie. And like, that movie's not going to do as well as Thrash did. And there's not going to be a real reason for it. It's not like people can be like, oh, like, no, this one is better because of blah. It's just like, no, it's the same garbage. But for some reason, this one hit at the right time. I don't know. I just like, and Netflix pushed it and people were like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, man.
Oh, apparently Stephen King, I think, tweeted about it. I think that was part of it, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know.
Got that Stephen King endorsement? Okay.
I will say, I do think smart idea to go... please, Kelly. They're a smart idea to
Kelly
have
like it.
A baby being born during this. I do think that added... that was like good stakes. It was like, oh, okay, babies has to be bored. Yeah. And then like her like in the water when the baby comes, like her doing a water.
Okay. Pregnancy. Okay. You know what, Bray? You know what did this movie better? You remember I saw with you A Freaking Quiet Place. Let me tell you why A Quiet Place did it better. Because the circumstances made sense. And in this movie, I'm like, okay, you know what? Blood in the water. Perfect. Yeah. We're going to build up to it. I didn't even know this woman was pregnant. They had one quick shot when the water was coming up. And I was like, oh, is she pregnant? Or is that like the water going under her sundress? I can't tell. And then at one point she goes, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, you weren't paying attention.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, because like, earlier in the movie she called her mom and she was like,
okay,
the baby is coming.
Okay, I missed it. Okay.
Because
I was
fine,
like,
but yeah.
By the time she gets in the water, I'm not saying this needs to be like a bloody movie or something. But the whole point, the whole fear is that when you have a baby, you know what's going to happen. The blood in the water, the sharks are going to come. And I felt like there was no blood in the water. When that baby came out, the baby was perfect. And I'm like, because you would have had the shot of like any of those movies. Like, you see, like, the blood kind of floating in the water, and you see the shark turn in the distance and come back.
Yeah, they did do that.
They did do that?
They did have the blood.
Yeah, they had,
like,
an overhead. They had an overhead shot of all the blood spilling out, and she's, like, in the water swimming.
The baby
in the blood.
Because the baby was born in the water, so came out clean.
Yeah, okay. I must have missed that, too.
Yeah, they did a big overhead shot, and it was like there was so much water. It did take the sharks much longer than I thought it would to get over.
It took them forever.
Okay, that's on me. I think I give up on the movie by this point. All right, sorry, that's on me.
But yeah. The
Quiet Place did do it better, though.
Well, here's the thing that I did want to talk about this whole, like, okay, they set up Whitney's character as somebody who has agoraphobia. So she's afraid of the outside. She hasn't left her house in a really long time because her mom died. And so this is also the reason why she's staying put in the hurricane, even though there's an evacuation notice. And they obviously, like, utilize it in this first scene where she, like, leaves to try to go save her, which again, you're adding, like, some stakes to this. But then, like, it kind of, like, once she broke it, then it was like it just never came back, and then it didn't feel like thematically tied into anything. You know what I mean? It was just like something they did for stakes for like one moment, and then they did that where she was like, oh, scared to like go out, but then she did it. And then I was also like, did we need the stakes of that? Because like being afraid of sharks, because you literally saw like 2 to 3 people get killed by it.
That's why I struggled with it. Why it felt like it was too much, because it was like you wouldn't want to go outside. Period.
Anyway,
you know, you wouldn't want to go. There's also a hurricane out there.
Exactly.
There's water everywhere.
Like a tide could sweep you away. You could drown. You know,
any number of reason to not leave. So I texted y'all like, this movie is trying me, or whatever it was that I texted. It was this part, because we also see her slip immediately when she gets out. And it's just like, you expect me to believe she's not only going to have this much trouble getting out, she's going to also expertly get this woman out of this car.
Cut a freaking tree branch and get her out the car?
And then help her, because she would need help getting over a thing that you already struggled slipping out. I mean, like, and then they just cut to her climbing in fine. Like, I was like, okay, all right. I don't know what this movie wants me to do, but they are really trying me.
Meanwhile, the other two, like, adult men who try to help her, like, got killed by sharks immediately.
Instantly. Instant death. Instant death.
Gruesome death.
Gruesome death.
My man was, like, face towards the car against the glass death.
Yeah.
Movie got made.
Dude tries to get out the meat truck. Dead instantly.
Oh man.
Also, when you hear someone,
what?
You know, I don't want to crap on this movie, man. The movie got made. But what's the director's name?
Tommy.
Written and directed by, right?
Written and directed by.
Good for them.
Exactly.
Good for them.
He's known for Dead Snow 2 from Red versus Dead. I guess he made Dead Snow.
Incredible
and Dead
title.
Snow 2. Oh, he wrote He wrote Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter. He directed that too. Do you remember that movie?
I remember that movie. Okay, this person.
Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter.
I didn't see it, but I remember it.
What Happened to Monday? That sounds familiar.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah. That one was weird. But I saw it.
Oh.
I did see it.
What Happened to Monday? Let me see.
The movie about their clones?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, is that one? Oh. Wait, am I thinking of the
And they all have a day. That's their day. Their name is their day.
Oh, right.
He also directed Violent Night. That's the Santa.
Oh, I liked Violent Night. Violent Night. Okay, all right. I'm cool. This could have been handled differently. I'm just going to say that. That's all I'm going to say. Violent Night. This one could have been handled differently. That's all I'm going to say.
There's some film called Spermageddon that he wrote and directed.
Oh my God. Well, I'll watch that too.
It's an animated film. Two narrative threads. One is an emerging love story
about
between
Violent
two
Night
awkward
is...
teens. Oh, and the other is about the quest of Simon the Seaman and his friend to reach the golden goal, the egg.
What? It's about a white, red-haired dude getting a black girl pregnant. Oh, my.
Holy hell. Holy crap. This is crazy.
But see, all of this that I'm learning though is helping, is making me understand that that this person knows that this could have been funnier from the beginning. I'm gonna say that off break. Could have been funnier from the beginning. And like, and also knows how to structure, why is there so much happening to where we lose the agoraphobia thing? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, granted, she also has to like, fuck it, I'm gonna go out there and get the blah blah blah, which took her a second to kind of overcome too. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how to make a movie. You don't need all that stuff. So why you put all that stuff in it?
I will say I did feel similar to Gerard when like she was like, please, you gotta go help. She's like, okay, fine. I'm just like, damn, why she got to do everything for you? Like, she don't even know you.
For what? Don't even know
That's the
you.
Thing. It didn't have to be like that. That part didn't even need to be spoken. You know, like she didn't need to say, I will not let my kid die. Meaning you have to come get me. Like that didn't have to be uttered. You know,
yeah.
For why is it in there? You know, there's she saw it from the beginning. You know, she was watching from the beginning. And if she's dealing with her anxiety, this could have been, instead of a monologue between the two, a dialogue between the two of them, she could have gone away and talked herself up or blah 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 or whatever. Like that could have been the scene that we had instead of like, you better come save me. You know, like I just don't understand. I just don't get why I make that choice. It didn't need to happen.
Yeah. What did you guys think about that? What did you guys think about? Did you run on Sue talking about his backstory, which was the reason he's into sharks because where he grew up, there were river hippos.
Oh my goodness.
And that was the scariest thing. And then he saw a river hippo was going to maybe kill him. But then it got scared, and it was scared of a bull shark, which I didn't quite understand why the bull shark didn't go after him. But anyway, and then the guy was like, "Okay." And then what did you do? Did you go home and get your spear?
Yeah,
yeah. Did you? And he didn't just say home. He said, "Did you go back to your hut
and get your spear
and grab a spear?" Yeah.
And then he's like, "No, I went back to my apartment and used my phone to call the cops." And then ordered a pizza or something. Did he say like, did he keep it with like, that I like?
Yeah.
And I was literally like, what is this joke?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw somebody tweeted that before I seen the movie. I didn't know where it was from. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then we get to that part of the movie and I was like, oh.
And they didn't have that guy die. I was like, how is this? Because to me,
the guy who literally says, make sure you film my death. That's his line. His line is, you better make sure that camera's on while I'm getting mauled to death by sharks. He says that verbatim. He says that verbatim. And then he says this racist joke. And then he doesn't die.
Like, do we think that it got cut for like, money or something? Like that was in the original script and then they were like, we don't have time for this.
I don't think he wrote it. I don't think he wrote that. I don't think he wrote the response to that.
That's crazy.
I don't think I think he thought it was a funny joke and I think that was enough.
I was disappointed. I was ultimately disappointed with the great white shark because I wanted it to be more than just that one thing. Because
you thought you were building up to like the big boss the whole movie, like, ah, shit, she's coming. And then she just ate the other shark. And we never...
I mean, I'm fine with, like, if you want to just recreate the Jurassic Park moment. But the thing is, in order to recreate that moment, we need the other moment in Jurassic Park, which is they're getting chased by a T-Rex. Like, yes. They have, like, the great white shark should also be a threat to them as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it be? Why did it just swim under her legs? Swim under her legs?
What?
Why wouldn't it just eat her? They eat people. We know this.
At least try to eat her.
We know great white sharks eat people.
It didn't make any sense. It really didn't make any sense.
Oh, man. Also, like, these bull sharks just, like, hung around in this area. Anyway.
It was the meat. It was the meat. All the meat in the water. That, I guess, would have certainly been
gone. So wouldn't they just have eaten the meat and then, like, dipped once the meat was gone?
Well, no, because I even wonder if there was meat still in the water. I think it was, like, the thought is, like, the smell sends them there. You know, is what and sends
They're just feeding. They just, like, killed so many humans around there. They were like, oh yeah, there's a lot of food around here.
This is a feeding ground.
A feeding ground. Yeah, the hurricane stopped being a problem as well. I guess it did. I guess that's not true. I guess, like, the water was rising and the house collapsed, so that was part of it.
Yeah, the water keeps rising throughout, but the storm barreling down becomes less an issue. Everyone was sort of stuck in one spot. Like what Crawl has that works for it is this had missions, but, like, you have various locations that you, like, you know, oh, we have to get from here to here, and now we have to get from here to here, and now we have to get, and sometimes it's doubling back and blah, blah, blah. And, like, while this had that, it was sort of like, it was mostly just, like, one room and the water, and that was all you had. And that to me, I think, made it feel stagnant in a way. You know, I think that's part of why when I paused it, and thought there was so much more left, it was like, oh no, the movie's almost and then almost shortly after that is, like, right when, like, the comedy and the, like, the wrap up humor starts because they were like, oh, I guess we have to end this, you know what I mean?
There are so few set pieces. Like, the kids are, like, trapped in that house, in their house, like, the whole time.
Oh, those kids.
It's, like, it's not that interesting. Mm-mm. And also, like, the other thing that was weird, I liked the guy coming back. That was a surprise.
Yeah, that was surprising. That was surprising.
And then they had the scene, I guess, where he, like, he's eating... Like, the shark's eating him, so he goes, like, down. He swims down to the basement to try to get a gun, and then the shark's down there, and that's, like, you know, a little action piece, I guess. But, like,
How did y'all feel about those kids all together?
They did not bother me at first. I didn't start having an issue with them until he came back. Like it was fun that he came back, but then once he came back, I was like, what is this sequence? It felt we're just kind of getting world building and we'll kind of see where this goes. Right. But then I kept writing the movie in my head. And so I keep thinking, like, well, who are our sacrifices going to be? And who are we going to lose? And what are these moments for, like, real, you know? And, like, it felt like there was more interesting stuff they could have done than just bring him back and have to me.
No,
you know,
I agree. But there was no, like, emotional. Well, there was clearly no emotional storyline that was really happening between these three kids. Yeah. There wasn't anything.
Nothing.
If there was something about, like, the older boy being like, he's an adult now and he's going to be their guardian, or, like, you know, I don't know. There could have been something there. Like, there could have been something with, like, one of the kids is, like, can't swim, or I don't know. I just felt like we could have got anything. And instead it was just, like, it was pretty much nothing. And then they find the dynamite and then they do the thrashing thing to blow up
the
sharks.
One shark.
But it's like, it's only blowing up one shark. Or weren't there a bunch of sharks there? And also, I don't know. I know this is so small, but it was really funny to me that they throw the dynamite. They, like, get behind a table and then the blood splatters, but it splatters on them. And I was like, wait a minute. How is the blood splattering on them like that? They're behind. Like, I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, physically, like, the blood is coming over. Like, I could understand if it was dropping on them, but it, like, splatters on them literally, mm-hmm. like, if the blood was in front of them, which it wouldn't be because mm-hmm. they were getting behind the table to protect themselves from this dynamite blast.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's so small, but I was just like, this is so lazy. Like, that part was so crazy to me. I feel like the story between the two women was kind of the only storyline I cared about at all. And I guess I wanted Digimon Hunsu to like come and do something heroic. And I feel like he just came. Like, he was just like, we got the
ball. Yeah.
And so I was a little disappointed in that. Like, I wanted there to be, like, I'm glad she had both women had a heroic moment. One literally stabs a shark with a piece of wood in the gut, and then Whitney got to shoot the spear gun at the right time. But
yeah, she got to use that lesson she learned from her mother.
yeah. Honestly, this is one of those movies where they did a lot. And I don't always notice this, but, you know, it's in movies that we love and watch. But at one point, she's telling the other woman about sharks or whatever. And she goes, oh, my uncle studies them. He's taught me blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, in these movies, there's always a person who has the perfect set of skills to survive this very unusual situation.
Yes.
It's like not figuring it out, but they know it already. And I'm like, wow, all right.
And that was I think that was probably the most creative and like innovative sequence of the movie, was her putting mm-hmm. a bunch of vibrating things in plastic bags, putting those out, and then her like slowly swimming and seeing those bags go down one by one. I thought that was it was probably the only thing in this movie that didn't feel like it was just completely ripped from another movie or just absolutely mm-hmm. ridiculous and dumb. Because you're absolutely right, Dre. I completely forgot that in A Quiet Place that she's pregnant and she has the baby at the end of that movie.
But also, like, that is just so much buildup, because you see, like, we establish you can't talk. Then you see them building the thing to make it so the baby's quiet.
Totally.
And I know this movie, she didn't have that plan. And again, I guess I missed the blood and the water. It was just, even at one point when she first, when Whitney first climbs out to get her out the car and the boat capsizes or whatever. Whenever they're outside the boat.
Just one random shark's like, I know what to do. I'll just hit this boat to capsize. I was like, what the hell?
And then at one point I was like, why didn't y'all get on top of the boat?
Yeah, I don't know.
At one point I was like, hey, the boat's right. But then I was like, maybe I missed them trying to climb up it. And I was like, why didn't y'all climb up the boat?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they did.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Well, but then also, like, that happens, and almost immediately...
The birth is happening?
No, homeboy's on his way, right? Because it's capsized after the baby's born, and then they...
Oh, yeah, then the shark is... Yeah, yeah, right.
They pan over and the rescuers are here. Like, 1,000 Miles really made me mad. It like made me mad. Like, I was like, it just made me mad. And then I was just sort of mad for the rest of the movie. Even though, like, if I can divorce myself from what I had been watching up until that point, it's very funny, you know. but within the context of what I had been watching, I was just like, man, that's not what this, you know, like I thought, like, people could have died sacrificial deaths. Like, that was sort of the movie that was set up. Like, there could have been genuine stakes, and, you know, and people could have, we could have really gone on like a kind of deeper emotional journey. And so I was frustrated when that happened.
You know, it really does make me think, like, cause this is not a well-made film, and we know this. And viewers and critics know it, and viewers apparently, like, you know, I don't, you can't put like too much stock into like popcorn meter, but like I find it genuinely fascinating that like the popcorn meter for this film is so low, 24%. And like, okay, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 5 out of 10, which is like not quite 24%, but it's still bad. Like most people who are watching this movie are like, I don't think this movie is good. And yet it's like the number one movie. And so there's a part of me that's like, is this like what, how much of the algorithm is just like a self proclaiming thing? Like, it's like, well, you're pushing it to the forefront, so people are clicking on it because they're constantly mm-hmm. being advertised it. And then if it's anything yeah. remotely in the area of like a subject matter that people might want to see, then they're going to watch it because they're like, I don't know, I guess it's good because it's the number one movie on Netflix.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the movies after this that were in the suggestions, I mean, I don't think Jurassic is up there in their top, but, you know, the new Jurassic is there. Anaconda was there.
Right.
And a couple other movies that are big enough that, like, if this is suggested after all of those, you know, even if someone's not watching each of those movies, enough people are watching those movies that then they might go, oh, I don't want to see Jurassic, I'll check out Thrash, or I don't want to see Anaconda, I'll check out Thrash. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was positioned in a way that, and those are just the only ones that I could think of, but they were all like, all of the titles like jumped out at me as like interesting titles that, you know, this really had a good push behind it.
I don't know what's good or bad anymore. This movie has proven it. I don't know anything.
Most people agree that the movie is bad, but doesn't mean they don't want to watch it. And I think that's the interesting part.
Yeah. When we were picking the movie and you were like, these are the movies, I had just seen the Thrash poster and I was like, oh, I think I want to see that.
I gotta be honest. I think I was gonna watch this movie even if we didn't pick it. Because I was just like, oh yeah. Looks like Crawl. I liked Crawl. I think that's literally what my reasoning was. I was like, yeah, Shark. Okay. All right. It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if we feel like it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. Doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Count of three, we'll lift up our ratings for Thrash. One, two, three. All right, one black fist and two white palms.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Are you going to do it first?
I mean, the reason I gave it a black fist, honestly, is because 37 million people. So we got 37 million views is crazy. And that's worldwide. And yeah. also like, and it's also like, yes, I know the woman from Bridgerton was also like the co-lead, but like, you know, she was like a huge part of this movie, had got hero moments, you know. I mean, she was the hero. And I think it's like the familiarity and like being like, yeah, this wasn't a good movie, but like, I think these are one of these movies where actors can claim like, but people like me in it, you know, and maybe, I don't know, it does some, yeah. does a little something. So that's why I gave it a fist.
I gave it a palm because Whitney was in it and she had a good acting part.
Yep. But.
Nope, that's why I gave it. I'm sorry, that's why I gave it a palm. That's why I gave it a palm.
Yeah, same. I mean, like, I think it's being watched, and I think Whitney's great in it, and I think, but I don't. But I also kind of have some problems in terms of like yes, she's the co-lead, but I think they spend a lot of time with Homegirl in a way that I was like, I don't know if I. I don't know if I appreciate that. So I gave it a palm for that reason. I think it's gonna keep doing numbers, so you know, it's certainly helping the cause that way.
I guess so.
I mean
I just gotta learn, like, but also then would you wanna make, I don't know.
If it's going to keep doing numbers, it being bad doesn't matter, right? I mean, right? if it's doing the numbers.
I don't know. Is it, does it mean more to work than make good work? I don't know. Because not working isn't fun, but maybe you make work that gets made and worry about the quality of the work later. Because you're working.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this film, Burke Giroir.
It really did. Poor
Giroir. Yeah, man. It's just like I see these movies and like I feel like people put it on in the background and like we're all okay with it being very mid. And it's like, how are we okay with mediocrity?
There is definitely a place for mid movies. Definitely, you know.
Yeah.
And like this one sticks certain landings, not a lot, but certain landings that I think might keep having people watch. I think.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Threads. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can find us on Patreon and Red Circle for exclusive content every other week. Only $5 a month and you get so much bonus content. It's crazy. We just reviewed Yumi and Tuscany on there with special guest Yasmin. If you're in Los Angeles and you want to check out some improv, I'm on a team called Dance Club Remix. Perform at the UCB Theater. I have my dates, show dates at www.johnbraylock.com.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. A show that I got to do some writing on for Try Guys just premiered on their Second Try Network. I wrote on season 3 of Trolley Problems. So check that out. And then there are comics in stores. Free Comic Book Day. There's going to be a Stitch. There's more issues of Stitch coming out. The Stitch trade is coming out. Aladdin number 1 is coming out. So go to your local comic book shop and tell them that you want those comics. Buy them. Get them. Because I want them to sell so that I can continue to work. Because I ain't got no jobs. y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? If y'all don't go buy these comics, I don't think I'm working again. Okay? Do you understand? Do you understand? I'm not kidding. I'm not playing. Buy the comics. Let the comics. Put them on your pull list. It's all just right. $5, $6. It ain't a lot of. It ain't too much money. It ain't too much money. Buy the comics. Tell them to go to your local comic shop.
Yeah, they are. I think they heard you.
I haven't been working. Okay. I haven't been working. I need.
Goodness.
Thank you.
All right. That was so long. All right. Oh my God. You can follow me at Giroir Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. Ooh, sorry. I'm tired. I just drove. I wasn't working, y'all, but not on a fun thing. I got a show.
Giroir rubbing in that he worked.
Yeah.
No. It wasn't fun.
Right after I talk about how I'm not working. Oh, Giroir was working. Oh, Giroir was working today. Oh,
it was a non-union gig, and the people I was working for didn't even get me a room, so I was like
damn,
jumping around in Vegas. So it's been a time. But you can follow me at Giroir Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. I have a show May 2nd with Carl Foreman, The Switch Up. That's at the Broadwater in Los Angeles. Starts at 9 p.m. We have some fun guests that we should be announcing soon. I'm scared to do it now in case we have to change somebody and I don't know. Also, if you're in New York on May 13th, please come out to The Stand May 13th at 8 p.m., I believe. Come out doing stand up there, and I have a couple shows in LA popping up. So just check the IG because that's what I'm gonna post. Check the IG.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. Peace.